Blog Talk Radio.
Dead man walking. To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now put your hands together for this next cowboy. He has written his last seven rules as a man. He's going to try and make it eight.
Here comes the boom down.
Hello, radio. That's right. Scott Mesick here with the Making 8 Rodeo Network, and we are kicking things off. It is Sunday Fun Day, in the words of our good friend, Mr. Flint Rasmussen of the PBR. Mike, what do you think, man? Been a great weekend, buddy. How about you?
It has been a great weekend, man. Been out and about in a lot of places. I know you've had a big weekend, man, and I'm excited to hear a lot about it.
You bet, buddy. Well, I got to tell you, man, you know, Mike, there's been a lot of talk about, over the last couple of years with the professional bull riders, there's been a lot of talk about this event, this Iron Cowboy down here at Dallas Stadium. And, you know, we hear a lot about it. We've talked a lot about it. We talk a lot about professional bull riders, just what they do, you know, the athletes that are there. We've had them on our show. And, you know, there's a lot of hype about this Iron Cowboy, but when you're sitting at home in your own living room, man, it is hard to understand, you know, just what this event is all about. So we thought we'd pack up in the truck, head on down to Dallas, Texas, and just find out for ourselves. And I got one word for you, Mike. W-O-W, wow. You can't put it any more, any better than that right there, man. This event is one that is for the record books. There is so much going on and so much to see there that I promise you a one-day event just doesn't do it justice, man. I am a true fan of being there at Cowboy Stadium as they host the Iron Cowboy with the PBR. And man, what an exciting, exciting weekend we've had. You know, I got started the weekend got started early for me as I actually headed down to northeast Texas and had an opportunity to visit the Andrews Rodeo Company. And I know, Mike, that you actually have had an opportunity to see that ranch as well. What do you think about the Andrews Rodeo Company, where they used to be? And a lot of people know them, you know, from back in the 90s. But what do you know about this company, man?
Well, you know, from – they've been around rodeo for years and years, and some of the best bulls in the world has come from the Andrews Rodeo Company. Scat Cats Go, big bull, big name bulls, Bodacious, you know, one of the best, probably the best bull ever in the world that went around the rodeos and bull ridings. And Sam Andrews and Miss Rena, they put together some of the best stock in the world, and they are some awesome, awesome people to be around.
Well, you know, not just bucking bulls, but bucking horses as well. And, you know, just to tour that facility down there and tour that ranch, man, I'm telling you, that's what ranching, that's what rodeo is right there. and we had an opportunity to get a firsthand look at it. But, you know, Mike, you talk about the bull Bodacious, and that's the bull that everybody knows. You know, this bull was most feared by any cowboy out there, man. And you know, if there was a bull that nobody wanted to get on, it was that bull, because his intensity, his strength, his sheer power was so intimidating. And you know, I mean, he was not a friendly bull to get on. But, you know, the caliber of bull that was there is what we're seeing today in the professional bull riders. And we're talking about two of the best bulls in the business that we got to see this weekend right here at the Cowboy Stadium for the Iron Cowboy, and that being Asteroid and Bushwhacker. Man, I'm telling you, the type of bulls that are there at this event are top-notch, and there's so many of them there, man. We're going to go down the list here tonight as we recap the Iron Cowboy, but wow, what an experience, you know, to be able to take part and go and visit a ranch like the Andrews Rodeo Company and actually saw where Bodacious' final resting spot was, man. You talk about an honor, and then to head over to Dallas Cowboy Stadium and have an opportunity to walk in that new stadium that Jerry Jones put together. It just gives you chills, man, to be there in that facility. And you know, I honestly, you know, there's people that have never had an opportunity to see it. I've been to many stadiums for many different sporting events, have never seen a facility set up like Cowboy Stadium. The fans that were there, I chills, man. We're going to talk about it here. We got so much to talk about here on today's show, my friend. But I will tell you that the fans were there. The turnout was great. So many activities going on, even before we had an opportunity to get inside the stadium for the Iron Cowboy.
It really is a special event. It's an event that really puts a new spin on bull riding. I've talked to a lot of people in the industry over the last several years. Like you said, Scott, sitting at home, some people just don't understand it. Some people really think, well, is this what bull riding is really all about? Well, my opinion is yes. I mean, the bracket form is a really interesting way of doing a specialized event like this. And from all accounts, the PBR does it first class and first class all the way. And I'm excited to get into the bracket just to kind of see, get our perspectives of what happened there at Iron Cowboy and talk about the bulls, because there's a lot of bull power and there was a lot of great cowboy digging down deep in their try and their heart, putting out all the try they could to make every second count.
That's right, Mike. Well, I'll tell you, we do have a lot to talk about here as we recap the Iron Cowboy from Dallas Cowboy Stadium there in Arlington, Texas. But before we get into what happened inside the arena, we're going to talk about what happened outside the arena. But before we do that, let's go ahead and take a break, get the fans ready as we go back to the PBR special right here as on the Making 8 Rodeo Network as we broadcast the recap show of the Iron Cowboy. You guys stay tuned. We got a lot more action coming your way right after this.
Hey guys, it's rodeo announcer Brett Weldon talking about technology and rodeo. You know, lots of things have changed over the years since this sport first began. One thing we want to talk about is our friends at RodeoGenius.com. It's the virtual online rodeo secretary for event producers and classifieds for all things rodeo. Fast, easy, and hassle-free. For more information, check them out at RodeoGenius.com.
Won't get me hurt. You can take away my up my hat, spurs and boots, hit my Copenhagen chain. Put me in a high-rise office, make me wear a suit and tie. But I'll be a cowboy till the day. You'll never understand. Cowboying ain't just what I do, it's who I am. It's how I think, it's what I feel, it's the way of life I love. No, it ain't like I had a choice, it's in my blood. You can take away my pickup, put me in a black sedan, hang up my hat, spurs and boots, it's my Copenhagen chain. Put me in a high-rise office, make me wear a suit and tie. But I'll be a cowboy till the day I die.
Took place just as much outside the arena as it did inside the arena. There was so many activities, and want to thank the professional bull riders for, you know, allowing us the opportunity to be there and to cover the event that, you know, so many fans have talked about. We had an opportunity to sit down and you know, participate. But Mike, man, I'm telling you, they had bull riding going on outside the arena just as much as they did inside the arena.
Hey, man, you know, I've seen a lot of pictures that you posted on Facebook, and that NBR event that Chris Shivers does outside the arena, it looked really exciting, and to see, have some of them young guys there, I know it was a time of their lives, and some of the bullfighters and stuff that were there, I'm sure that they were having an extremely great time out there with all the fans and all the people, got all the attention that they were getting outside that big-time arena.
Oh, absolutely, man. When you're sitting outside Dallas Cowboys Stadium there in Arlington, man, and they've got an arena set up, and, you know, you get so many fans that are coming in. They started off with the mutton busting. Man, it was so great to see those little woolly riders, man. They were just getting to it. And so much heart and try. Every one of them, I think, came up with a big old smile on their face, just really loved it. And then they got into these mini bulls. And, you know, this is my first chance to see the mini bulls up close and personal. And I got to tell you, those are some rank little dudes. Those little bulls will buck. But, you know, it really is the start, man. That's the future of the professional bull riders. That's, you know, these young kids that are getting out there on it, these are the ones that we're going to see in the next generation of cowboys coming through the ranks of the professional bull riders. So this was really just a preview of what was yet to come in many different ways. And we had an opportunity to actually catch up with a couple of these guys, and we were able to get some interviews with the permission of their parents, which was really, really a great thing to sit back and talk with their, you know, with these young kids. But the first one we're going to talk to is a young 13-year-old kid, and his name is Blake Duff. So let's get right down to it, Mike, and we're going to go back and air this first one. This is Blake Duff, and here's his interview.
Guys have seen here, they've televised it here with TBR, and I've actually got some guys down here that are actually going to be competing in tonight's event. So first off here, what is your name, and where are you from?
Louisiana.
Blake Duff. So Blake, how old are you?
13.
13 years old, and when did you actually start riding these miniature bulls?
About a year and a half ago.
Okay, and have you been on, now, I know that they've already done the draw for tonight.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about him?
Not much.
Not much. Just that he hasn't been bucked in a while. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what are some of what is it that made you want to start riding these miniature bulls?
I always.
Is that right? Well, I got to tell you, man, I want to wish you the best luck here this afternoon, and I know it's going to be fun times, and we look forward to seeing you out there, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap it up. Well, we're going to get some more interviews, so yeah, stay tuned.
All right, Mike. Well, this young kid was really talented, man. Actually had a re-ride bull, came back, and unfortunately got bucked off because he took his re-ride. And, you know, what they did was they took the top three, you know, from the junior division as well as the senior division. So they had different age groups that were there. And we were able to catch up with one of the boys that I believe was getting ready to move into the senior division, and McKay Calouet. And I hope I pronounced his name right, but we're going to sit back and check out his interview as well.
Hey, guys, I'm down here with McKay Calouet, and he's down here getting ready to ride the Christian. We've
well,
got a lot of young kids that are looking forward to the sport, and we've got one down here. So tell us your name.
I'm McKay Calouet, and I'm from Dallas.
So you guys come all the way out here to Texas just to ride in this deal? Wow, I got to tell you, that's pretty impressive. Now, when did you start riding?
4 years ago at my buddy's house up in Arkansas.
Okay. And how old are you?
14.
14. So you've been riding for since you were about 10 years old, huh?
Yes, sir.
Now, I know that they've already done the draw tonight. You know anything about the bull that you have?
Yes, sir. Well, people have told me that he just jumped.
There you go. Just post up over the front. Stay right down there. Keep him down, right?
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's here. Well, listen, man, good luck. Now, are you also going to be in the arena later on, or they won't know, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I didn't know. Hopefully I get top three and get it.
There you go. We'll stay over the front, man. Make it happen. We look forward to seeing you out there, buddy. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, guys. We're going to check back in with a few more bull riders here. You guys stay tuned. You're listening to the Making That Real Show coming at you.
Well, Mike, I got to tell you, man, I know we had a little bit of technical difficulties there and it was kind of breaking out, but unfortunately that's the name of the game in wireless internet. Man, I'm telling you, what a great, two great, really young kids and talented, man. These guys were young bull riders, and I'll tell you, to see these guys out there with not just their parents, but, you know, even some of the senior guys coming down and giving these guys some tips on how to cover these little miniature bulls, man, what a great opportunity for those guys. And, you know, we were able to see a few of them later on in the arena later on that night. They're in Cowboy Stadium, and, man, I'm telling you, I don't even know what kind of pressure those kids were under in front of that many people inside that stadium.
Well, you know, with those NBR events, it really trains those young guys on how the correct way of riding bulls. Because the one thing I really like about those NBR events are miniature bulls, and they're not born to buck bulls that are out there. The kids are just going to get hurt on this. This is the correct, fundamentally correct way of them learning riding bulls. And there's no way to be more excited about it than right outside Cowboy Stadium at the Iron Cowboy. And the top three getting to go in and compete during the intermission of the Iron Cowboy. So I'm sure there was and nothing but excitement for these young guys. And it really, I'm sure the pressure came down on them, but I'm sure they, as well as they handled the pressure in the right way, because they got to learn to handle that pressure just like they got to learn how to ride bulls the fundamentally correct way. So I'm glad to see the PBR giving them the opportunity of being able to compete there, because they learn a lot in that event. But I'm really looking forward to getting in this bracket, Scott, and talking about this first round.
Well, you know what, Mike, though? We are so good on time, brother. I've actually got a couple more coming at you, man. We're able to catch up with a couple more interviews out there, one of them being we're able to catch up with the bullfighters who are out there with these miniature bulls, and they had a really interesting take, because these guys, you know, are normally fighting bulls that are a little bit larger than these bulls. These bulls are a little bit different. So we're able to catch up with two of the bullfighters there, and one of them being Hunter Jones from Ada, Oklahoma, the other one Michael Early. So we're going to catch up with those guys, and here's their interview.
Hey, guys, I'm down here. I just wrapped up the MBR, the Chris Silvers Invitational down here at the Iron Cowboy. And to me, of the bullfighters down here, one of them being Hunter Jones, the other one being Michael Early. Now, guys, I got to tell you, man, what do you guys think about these young miniature bulls out here and these young kids that are getting them, Hunter?
Man, I think it's just awesome for young kids, little bitty bulls. They got big egos and a lot of heart to buck, and some of them's even mean, so that puts us to work for good.
Yeah, sure does. Michael, talk to us a little bit about the bullfighting out here compared to some of the bigger bulls. What is the difference between them?
These little bulls, they're pretty hard to really read, because they're so quick, and when you do read them, you gotta react real quick. And bigger bulls, I'm not gonna say they're slower, but you can read them real short to the ground, and they get after you a lot quicker than big bulls sometimes. And you just go do it and have fun, live your dream.
That's right. Well, you talk about living dreams. Now, Michael, when did you actually get started into bullfighting?
I was 12 years old. Head kicked off, and I made a round of the bull, and I looked up at my dad and said, I'm living my dream, and I've been fighting bulls for, this is my fourth year.
Well, good deal. And Hunter, you know, we actually have a little bit of history together. I know that we had a pre-cross at Ken Lance Arena in Ada, Oklahoma last year, but talk to us about what brought you into getting started with bullfighting.
Well, I mean, I tried riding, and that didn't work out so well. I mean, that just, you know, some people's gotten some people not much care for it, but I actually stepped around a bull like Michael, 12 years old, and it's just kind of a dream I had to do, you know, a chase, you know, and along all the bumps and bruises, it's paid off to get here with Iron Man, and, you know, it means a lot.
Now, that's right, and, you know, they're actually going to have the invitation later on at the Iron Cowboy during the performance, so you guys are going to have an opportunity to go out there and fight some bulls out here in.
Man, it's awesome. There's probably going to be over 25,000, 30,000 people, if more, you know, and that's a dream, you know, for everybody to hear your name and just show them what you got. You know, being 15 or 16, you know.
That's right. Michael, you tell us, what is it like out there in Cowboy Stadium and see the thousands of fans that are going to be here watching?
It's going to be a very humbling experience. If I said I wasn't nervous, I'd be lying. Adrenaline, it's not so much nerves, but it's adrenaline. And I'm just, it's going to be crazy how all them fans be able to watch you, because I know thousands of fans. And I'm just real thankful I got the opportunity, and give glory to God and Frank Newsom. I mean, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here today, and I'm just thankful for it.
Well, that's right, and that's good you guys are mentioning at the Iron Cowboy. So I've got to ask you, now being down here, do you pick for the one tonight, the bull rider? We got to get a little insight here.
And, man, I don't know. There's so many, you know, good bull riders. It's going to be a tough. It's going to be something that they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to show their stuff and tell them why they want to win, who wants it the baddest.
That's right. How about Michael, how about you? You got an idea?
Yeah. Doesn't always ride every bull, but I'm going with Mike Lee or Austin Meyer, because they don't quit. They got the heart, and I believe one of them are going to take it all the way tonight.
That's right. Well, we know that Chris Shivers actually hung up his bull rope. Otherwise, you guys would probably pick him, right?
Well, I and Tinder, just all the other world champions, and, you know, they're here for a reason. They're the top four riders in the world.
That's right. Well, he's done a great job down here with the NBR series, and I know that the fans really look forward to it. And thank you guys for joining us, guys, out here tonight at the Iron Cowboy.
Thank you.
Well, Mike, I got to tell you, man, those two young guys are really talented as well. You know, it takes a lot of skill and talent to be able to fight these miniature bulls. And I think if you ask some of the more experienced bullfighters, they're going to tell you the same thing. These bulls are just as rough to step around. They're quick, they're small, and some of them are even mean, like these guys were talking about. But these guys did a really fantastic job looking out for these young cowboys, and what kind of talent that it shows you that they bring from all levels. You know, Chris Shivers and the guys at the Miniature Bull Riding Series was really good. But we also had an opportunity to catch up with our announcer from the NBR that was going on, Chris Pyle. So we're going to actually go down and check out his interview real quick. So here it is. Hey, guys, we're down here in Arlington, Texas at the Iron Cowboy. And as we're down here with Chris Pyle, who is the announcer for the NBR. Now, Chris, tell us a little about the NBR and what they're doing here this year and just what you guys are doing with these miniature bulls and these young cowboys.
You betcha, sir. We're just great for you as far as the Miniature Bull Riding Series. It's basically the PBR of young kids. What we did here today at the Iron Cowboys, we had a junior division, which was made up of 8-year-old to 11-year-old bull riders riding for 8 seconds, and then we took a break with time is back to our MBR bull riders where we rode with the senior bull riders, which were 12 to 14 years of age. And just super young guys. These guys have a desire to get inside that Texas stadium to make the PBR tour and the Built For They're preparing themselves right now as these young bull riders. This is the little leagues of bull riding, except the MBR is a step above. These are the elite young kids in bull riding. These are the best in the world for the young kids in those age divisions.
That's right. We've actually as far as Georgia and all over to ride here for this series. Now, how many of these events have you announced, and just where are these, you know, how many events do they hold, and where do they hold them usually?
Well, they're actually growing. This is actually the third year, I guess, now, sir, that I've been with the NBR or the Miniature Bull Riding Series. Cyril Dolan, Lee Al teamed up with Chris Shivers, as you know. So that's been a spectacular, you know, when you put those two together, they're going to be successful. For the kids, bring the best kids in and give those kids a chance to learn bull riding at every experience and give them a chance to grow. So they started out with a few events back 3 years ago, then several more last year, and this year promises. Been in Pennsylvania all the way down here to Texas, and then some out on the West Coast as well. They were in Arizona and Prescott last spring. So they've got intentions to be all over and more booking, you know, as far as what I'm hearing, just, you know, it may really.
Well, that's excellent. You know, it's really good to see an organization set up like this. And when you got a guy like Chris Shivers, you know, I mean, you just can't say enough about what he's done and what he's doing for the youth and the up-and-comers that we're going to eventually see. They're the future of the PBR. And I know the fans that are here at the Iron Cowboy are also going to have an opportunity to see a couple of these guys tonight. Is that right?
Sir, yes. That's really a blessing for these kids. And you and I, you know, we would like to have all 12 got to go in. Side. They had 12 bull riders that were top 12 in the juniors, top 12 in the seniors, rode here in the fan zone. They all had an equal shot to qualify to the Texas, inside the Texas Stadium tonight for Iron Cowboy. They took the three highest scores from the junior, three seniors, and those are the guys going to get to ride inside.
Well, good deal. I know it's exciting to watch, and I want to thank you for taking the time out here to talk with us. Is there a website where fans can go and follow along with what's happening with the NBR?
Yes, sir. NBR, it's Miniature Bull Riders. Check them out on Facebook, NBR Facebook. I don't know the exact ads to find that, but Cyril Dole, Millie Lee, out, come out, NBR, type that in, they'll find them. It's all over. Miniature Bull Riders, it's the future of the PBR.
That's right. And we'll hear you out here behind the microphone. Look forward to seeing you out here, and good luck to these young cowboys.
Thank you, sir, and thanks for what you guys do for the bull riding, as we're all grateful to be here.
You bet. I appreciate it. All right, guys, we're going to take off and get ready to head. We're away from kicking off Iron Cowboys. You guys stay tuned.
Thanks a lot.
Mike, I got to tell you, man, Chris Pyle, what a diplomat, what a representative for the NBR. And
I know we were kind of breaking up right there. We're going to actually try to make some adjustments on our technical difficulties here for these interviews. But, wow, what an exciting, exciting time we had watching what was going on outside the arena before we even had an opportunity to step inside. You know, they had Justin McBride out there on stage. They had Flint Rasmussen did his Outside the Barrel. Shane Proctor was able to join him out there. A lot of fans out there. And, you know, for us personally, we had a lot of fans that were involved, Mike, that have been following Making 8 Rodeo Network for some time and want to send a big old shout-out to our friends Gabby and Donna and Lisa. You know, we got to see them and their families. Man, what a great opportunity it was to reach out to so many fans that are professional bull riding fans, as well as Making 8 Rodeo Network fans. And we want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. You know, whether you're listening to our live broadcast or listening to it on the archives, am I right, Mike? This is a great opportunity, man, and we are so blessed and fortunate to have so many great fans that have tuned in every week to our shows.
Well, that's why we do these shows, Scott, you know, and you and I have teamed together. We really enjoy what we do, and the fans is listening to our shows. You guys are the reason why we do this, and we enjoy it, and we enjoy bringing the information to you. And as Scott alluded to, he met some of the Making 8 Maniacs there this weekend, and I know we love getting to see you guys out and about some of these bull rides and rodeos. So I can't wait to get out there and get to meet some of the Making 8 Maniacs, because we interact with you guys so much on Facebook and chats and everything, and we really appreciate you guys listening. And one thing I want to say, Scott, about the bullfighters that was there, and as they were, I was listening to their interview and listening to them speak, you know, these guys, they're talking about these miniature bulls, how quick they are. Something that these miniature bulls remind me of, they remind me of the old Spanish fighting bulls that they use in the NFR Wrangler bullfights, and they're how quick they are. And it's definitely different fighting bulls for those MBR events than it is the bigger bulls, because they're a lot quicker and short-legged. They can get around and move quickly. But
yeah,
I know
short,
they did a great job
can.
Doing that.
Yeah, they did. But, you know, they found some younger guys, too, that can really make some great corners on them and really step in there. And, you know, they're cowboy lifesavers, man. That's exactly what they are, and they're able to do that. And it doesn't matter if that cowboy is 30 or 13, you know. They find the right guys for the job, and I believe the NBR has certainly done that. They have brought in a great listing of great people, and we you know, we really enjoyed it and want to thank all of them for what they do out there. I know myself personally, having a history of getting on the back of bulls, man, the first guys I look to and the first guys I want to bring that water to, make sure they're nice and hydrated with those bullfighters, and they did a great job. But Mike, we got a lot more to talk about, my friend. We've got a lot more professional bull riders coming at you from the Iron Cowboy down here. We've got some interviews. We've got a lot to talk about as we go back and we talk about what happened inside the arena. So let's take a quick short break, Mike, and when we come back, we'll see if we can get these things fixed up. And we will, sure enough, come back with what happened inside the arena there at the Iron Cowboy from Arlington, Texas.
Howdy, folks. Scott here with the Making 8 Rodeo Network, inviting you to come down to making8rodeo.com. For all of your bull riding and rodeo information, come check us out and get a grip. We've got weekly radio shows, live internet video streaming, and much, much more. Also home of Bucky the Bull. So don't miss out on an opportunity to sit back with other fans like yourself. Come check us out at Making 8 Rodeo.
They just put me in the shoe, someone's trying to ride me. Tighten up the ropes, they don't know what's inside me. Little Yellow Jacket is my name, and hurting cowboys is why I came. I'm rolling on a trailer out from Arizona. Whoever's up next, I'm gonna put it on you. I'll buck them all off in no time flat, and shake them off my back and stomp the cowboy hat. I'll buck them all off in no time flat, and shake them off my back and stomp the cowboy hat.
You off my back, boy. You on your back, boy. Get get off my back, boy. You on your back, boy. Get off my back, boy. You on your back, boy. Get off my back, boy. You on your back.
I'm drooling out my nose and digging in the dirt now. I'm thinking about the next cowboy I'm gonna knock down. I'm reindeer dipping, ain't no Christmas coming early. Heard you riding good, but that really don't concern me. I rode in on a trailer out from Arizona. Whoever's up next, I'm gonna put it on you. I'll buck them all off in no time flat. And shake them off my back and start the cowboy hat. I'll buck them all off in no time flat. And shake them off my back, it's off the cowboy hat.
Get off my back, boy. You on your back, boy. Get off my back, boy. You on your back, boy. Get off my back, boy. You on your back, boy. Get off my back, boy. You on your back, 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 back.
On a trailer out from Arizona. Whoever's up next, I'm gonna put it on you. I'll buck them all off in no time flat. And shake them off my back and start the cowboy hat. I'll buck them all off in no time flat. And shake them off my back and start the cowboy hat.
Get off my back, boy. You on your back, boy. Get off my back, boy. You on your back, boy. Get off my back, boy. You on your back, boy. Get off my back, boy. You on your back, back, back. On your back, 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 back.
All right, guys, I'm not sure how we're going to do this, but we are back from our break here, ready to talk about what happened inside the Cowboys Stadium there in Arlington, Texas. And Mike, I got to tell you, man, like I said, if you haven't seen the pictures on our Facebook page, you can go over and check them out. But man, you know, just to see that place and really TV cameras, pictures do not do that facility justice, man. I have never seen a more great quality. This place is just so set up. Jerry Jones did something spectacular when he set up that arena, or set up that, well, I say arena, it was a bull riding arena last night, but mostly a football field. Now, man, this is a place that will seriously give you chills just being there.
Oh, no doubt. You know, he spent millions of dollars putting that arena together, and like you said, last night it wasn't a football field arena. It was none other than a professional bull riding arena. So, and on TV, it looked great. It looked like the stands were filled to a lot of fans were there. So, I was really excited about the action. It was. I can tell you what, where I'm at in Mississippi, it was kind of chilly last night. It was about 29 degrees, but looking at it on TV, it looked like Arlington, Texas was pretty hot last night.
Oh, you bet it was, man. And, you know, you talk about all the fans that were there. We actually did have an opportunity to step in and talk with some of those fans as we made our way inside Cowboy Stadium. So, you know, I'm going to try this. We're going to do a little bit different type so that way we can get this interview across to you guys a little bit clearer. So we're going to give this thing a shot. You guys hang tight. Here's the interview from some of our fans. Mike, I think we have some technical difficulties there, man, and I apologize. That did not come across like we had hoped.
No, it didn't, but that's okay because I'm sure we'll work, get them kinks worked out and move forward with everything. But, you know, it's always fun to hear from the fans, especially new fans that that had just started coming to a big bull riding event. And because the new fans, they're the ones that drive the sport, because once you get that first impression of the sport, you want to come back for more, and then you become a fan for life. And then you tell your friends, and that's how we create new fans out there in the world, in this world, and bring it to the sport. So any time that we can talk with the fans is awesome.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, one thing about it is, and you know, as we're making our way out and around talking with these fans, they're the ones that are there to watch some great bull riding, and you know, they were able to do that there in Arlington, Texas, at that Cowboy Stadium. You know, normally they go in there to watch cowboys, but they're putting on pads and I mean, they're gearing up and putting on helmets, and you know, we see a little bit of that in the bull riding, but they're not. You know, these football players are only matched up against guys that may be 300 pounds tops. You know, we're talking about bulls that are in that arena, man. It's unbelievable. We did have a chance to see Rowdy down there as well, and that was really a neat experience to see the Dallas Cowboy mascot, as well as some pretty-looking cheerleaders down there. But, you know, I often wonder to myself, man, how did that deal get started? You know, just what happened there to make that deal happen? And, you know, when we were wandering around the fan zone before the event even happened, I happened to bump into a guy that was down there enjoying the festivities of the Iron Cowboy that, you know, going on out there in the fan zone. And I know a lot of the fans out there have heard about this guy, still a member of the PBR board, but we're actually talking about the former CEO himself, the boss man who helped make this event possible, in Randy Bernard. So we were able to catch up with him, Mike, and we actually have his interview right here. So let's take a listen. Hey, I'm down here in the fan zone for the Iron Cowboy. And, you know, you just never know who's going to drop by and who you're going to run into out here. But I'm actually talking with a lot of you folks might know, and he's been around PBR some time and really helped support where it is, where we can have the opportunity to have these big bull riding events here, places down Dallas Cowboy. Thank you for the fans out here. Tell us a little bit about what you have seen from day one and what you're seeing tonight.
Well, I tell you, this is a remarkable event. I mean, it's always great when you get to a stadium, because the stadium is the most sophisticated, entertaining stadium or facility in the world. And about 3 years before they started building this, Jerry Jones and I got together, and he said, "Hey, I want a PBR." And I said, "Can we wait to that next year?" And we shook hands, and as soon as he got the thing built, he made no mistakes about it. He called up and said, "I want that event." And I said, "Sir, let's do it." And you know, that first year we were nervous to see crowd. It was so much fun, and to see it here 4 years doing so well, and it's always fun to come to these big events where the kids get to ride for money.
That's right. Oh, and not only that, for the fans to come down here to Arlington, to kind of spend the entire day. You know, we had a lot of events playing in the background. They actually had the miniature bulls down here of Chris Shivers.
Yep.
You know, so the fans really have an opportunity to get some personal, you know, and really get an understanding of this sport, and walk in these doors and to watch bull riding at a facility like this is just great. We know that you know, were a huge part of making that happen with Jerry Jones, but really just, you know, to see this thing develop and then to see you come back here 4 years later and see where we're at, you know, it's an exciting thing, am I right?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, it's just fun to see the whole sport of bull riding continue to grow. Not only in the United States, but in other big countries like Brazil, and Mexico, and Canada, and Australia. So I mean, it's this sport is taking off, and I always knew when I left this sport, you might see that happen.
That's right. Well, I got to ask you now, down here, being that we're getting ready to watch this great event down here with the Iron Cowboy, do you have a favorite? Do you have a pick for tonight?
You know, I love them. Well, I know that you don't want to root for. But, you know, I just want to see a great show. I want to see one of the bulls get ridden tonight. That's what I want to see. I'd like to see Bushwhacker get ridden. That's think my
Ash Jordan Bushwhacker are going to be in the final round, and we'll see what kind of Cowboys. But I want to thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing this event, and hopefully we'll see you get out here again.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, Mike, there you go. You know, that's a guy who helped make that possible down there, you know, as he met with Jerry Jones and helped make things happen. So really special thank you to Randy Bernard for taking a few minutes to sit down with us and talk with us out there in the fan zone as we were getting ready to go inside and watch this event unfold right there in front of us, man. But as we got there, man, and the lights went down, it was showtime. The Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders were there. As they got inside, Rowdy was there, and they had the introductions. Man, it gives you chills to be in that facility. What a great opportunity it was. And man, it is time to sit back and start talking about these bull riders and how things unfolded, man. I was so excited. And as we started getting into the rounds, man, the Bulls were ready, the Cowboys were ready, and we had a lot of action that got started.
Oh, definitely. There was just so much action. And what I could tell you, just watching this event on TV, you could see the toughness that these Cowboys have to have going through this event because these Bulls just keep bringing it. I mean, these Bulls are not going through rounds and rounds after rounds. It's the Cowboys who are going bull after bull after bull. So they're getting a fresh bull every time. So it's the Cowboy strength and endurance what really gets tested right here at this event, and it was fun to watch.
That's right. Well, you know, like 10 of the 24 Cowboys that were there were actually first-timers, man, had never been in the Iron Cowboy before, and that was really a fantastic deal. But some of the guys that we had actually talked about, two of those new guys, Shane Proctor, you know, surprisingly enough, Shane Proctor, that was his first time there at the Iron Cowboy. But, you know, Shane went up against Reese Case there in round one. They were the second matchup to come out. And I got to tell you, man, that was pretty close. You know, Shane got bucked off in just over 2 seconds. And I wasn't sure if Shane was even going to be able to advance, especially going up against Reese Case, who had a good bull, man, digging Rich. But unfortunately, man, it was a short night for Reese as he got bucked off before Shane Proctor did. So those bulls came out there even in round one, man. They were so ready to buck, and sure enough, did the job there and allowed Shane to move on. They're in the round two, which, of course, would be matched up against his brother-in-law, but we got to talk about that here in a few minutes. But, man, that first bracket, you know, you're talking about some great guys that got in there, and, man, a lot of action. Mike Lee, another one that was matched up against Aaron Roy. Aaron Roy covered it, you know, or ended up bucking off at 4.59, but then Mike Lee came out with Fort Worth Disaster. Now, he had a little trouble in the chutes, and ended up actually smacking the bull at 7.9. You know, he actually thought he had the whistle, and it's so hard to hear in there. The one thing you can hear from everywhere, and that's when the fans get energized and start cheering. It's enough to send that vibration, man, through your bones. You can feel it as the crowd starts to erupt down there. But unfortunately, Mike reached down and touched the bull at 7.9, but it was enough for him to advance as well, and he went up against the Laramie Marchi in round two.
One of the matchups that really intrigued me this weekend was in the Douglas Dunklin Brendan Clark bracket, and this Douglas Dunklin is a guy that I really like. I think the guy is really talented. He reminds me a lot of a Jim Sharp type of cowboy who really his form is correct, and he got a lot of talent and able to stick it on bulls. And to see Brendan Clark come off a little early and Douglas cover Creole Cartel, which the bull himself I think has lost a step or two, and that's why this year he's not deeper into the rounds like he has been in the past few years. But to see Douglas Duncan cover him and move forward to go against Austin Meyer was really interesting. I think that was a really good one. And then the other good one that was really appealing to me is the Sean Willingham, Luke Snyder bracket. that was on the asteroid side. To see Sean William do well and Luke kind of come down early, and then Sean really took control and went on straight on to the next round. So it was exciting to see these guys really get started in the first round and then move on to the next round to face the guys who got the bye.
Yeah, you're right. You know, Mike, going back to the Douglas Duncan 88.5, man, was a fantastic ride. You know, you talk about Gorilla Cartel maybe, you know, losing a step a little bit, but that bull scored high as well. You know, that was a great matchup, and I know that's what, you know, that was probably the matchup in round one, is seeing Douglas Duncan going on Gorilla Cartel, because what a great job, man. That's one you want to have. He was able to make that whistle and score 88.5, and it was unfortunate for Brendan Clark, man. You know, I had not opportunity to talk with him just before the intermission, and he was bucked off at 5.3. A little disappointed in himself, said he wished he had a chance to do it again. Unfortunately, that's the name of the game. He'll keep driving on and getting ready for the next event. I mean, it's just the way it goes. And, you know, going over to Sean Willingham, you know, nice to see him advance. Unfortunately for Luke Snyder, though, too, he went down in a hurry on hot iron. But, man, you know, so it made a real short night for him. But, you know, there's no doubt there'll be plenty more for Luke Snyder. We, you know, definitely hope to see him back again. But, man, you said it right on the head, man. These guys that had advanced from round one really had, their hands full as they got ready to go into match two. The guys that, you know, pretty much had a first-round bye, I guess you could call it. But, man, those guys were jazzed up, ready to go. We saw a lot of qualified rides in round two, which was really impressive. I think most impressive for me, seeing that young Oklahoma Cowboy LJ Jenkins go 90 points on Jack Daniels after party, man. What a wild ride. What a fantastic ride for that guy.
You know, LJ's so talented, and you know, I realized a couple years ago when I seen him win the average at the NFR how talented this guy really can be. And then he came back last year and really had a great year in the PBR and really, really done well. And this year, I believe this guy has his eyes set on a gold buckle. And he's down in the standings a little bit, but he's been injured as well. So he's coming back and he's doing well now. He feels better and he's able to go at 100%. And when you got 100% healthy LJ Jenkins, guys, you better watch out. The guy's coming to get the money.
Oh, yeah, you can bet on that. Well, another guy that was really impressive that we were able to see there in the second round, Chase Outlaw. Now, in the first round, he actually had a little trouble in the chutes on the altercation, so they gave him a re-ride, and he bucked off early, but he bucked off, you know, actually a little bit later and was able to advance into the second round. Now, he was matched up and going up against Valderon de Oliveira, who ended up bucking off at 4.2. But, man, I got to tell you, and that was a real surprise because Valderon had actually scored 84 points on him earlier last year. So that was a rematch for him as Valderon went up against Redman, a bull that he had before. Chase Outlaw comes out and scores 87.25 on stroking and ended up getting thrown back in the bucket chutes, man. He ended up getting knocked out. I talked to him. He said, I don't remember much of anything after that bull ride. I heard that whistle, man, and got thrown back in there. He said, it knocked me for days. He said, I don't remember nothing.
You know, when he hit the ground, I knew this guy's going to have a tough one the next go around because he didn't have just any lackadaisic bull in the next round. He had Smackdown, one of the rankest bulls out there, and he really showed that he's tough, and he's, even though he got knocked out, he was mentally tough to come in there and knock them little birdies flying out around his head and get focused on Smackdown and put the effort out that he did. He didn't get him rode, but he did try as hard as he possibly could. And going up against an Austin Meyer who's been away from the Built For Tough Tour for a little while in the last few weeks, and then he's come back for the Iron Cowboy. He was completely, he was refocused, and he's been out there on the Touring Pros. Who, his first bull against Midnight Mood, he covered the first bull and did well. And then when he come up against Palm Springs, you know, it was going to be really tough for Chase to outdo Austin on SmackDown. So it was interesting to see that come through, but to see Austin move on to the Final Four was really awesome, because I think this guy, he's finished two times in the Iron Cowboy. He's finished second. So it was awesome to see him move on into the Final Four.
That's right. Well, you know, another big matchup that we had talked about going back was J.B. Mooney. You know, of course, in round two was matched up against his brother-in-law, Shane Proctor, which we were all really hoping for, man. You know, that was we knew that the possibility was there. We talked about it on last week's show. But, you know, to see it actually transpire, and, you know, I wasn't real sure, like I said, after that first round if it was going to happen, but it did. And, you know, both those guys, you know, it was pretty close. I mean, it was like a second that separated the two guys. And JB bucked off at 7.68. Shane got bucked off at 6.58. And so that ended up moving JB also into that third bracket, going up against Silvano Alves, who ended up having a rough go at it there and ended up bucking off at 3.69 on Shepherd's Hill Trapper, which allowed JB to advance that Final Four on Rock and Roll, as he was bucked off 5.51. So, you know, those two guys right there on the Bushwhacker side ended up making it to the Final Four. Wow, man. You know, you knew that it was going to be epic there. Austin Meyer had already covered two bulls, you know, going into it. JB was struggling. He's been dealing with some injuries, you know, and that's so hard when you got that leg injury like that. Not a good place to be sitting. But, man, I'll tell you, it was really good to see those guys. And then going over there to, you know, to the Asteroid side, and you know that those, a lot of those guys, Cody Nance was able to make some headway and ended up going in, up against he ended up going up against LJ, of course, and got brought down just a little bit early, and it was unfortunate for him, you know, that allowed LJ Jenkins to advance, and he made it that Final Four and was going to be matched up on Lightmaster's Rango. And then, of course, Mike Lee, man, this is another guy that ended up covering bulls. He ended up covering two of his bulls, which allowed him that opportunity to make it to the Final Four going up again on New Holland's Power Star.
Yeah, going back to the JB, you know, I'm the type of guy who I really think if you hurt, you need to stay at home and rest it up. I think you should have stayed at home, because this is a very tough event to be a part of, especially when you have an injury and a possible broken bone in your leg. We haven't got confirmation if his leg has got the broken bone in it or not. They haven't went public with that, but I think he should have stayed at home. But with his try and his grit and his cowboying up, he came on in anyways. He wanted to get a piece of that $50,000 and a chance at $100,000. And when he really put on a show getting up into that Final Four. But once he hit Mississippi Hippy, that 2,200-pound bull really gave him his hands full and gave him everything he had. And that dude right there on the end of your arm, that's a lot of muscle pulling on the end of your arm, a lot of hamburger meat pulling on it. So it really gave him a go. And to see Austin versus him, that's just epic right there, you know. And that really makes it special. But I'll tell you what, when we get to the Final Four, and Austin Meyer makes it into the final two. This right here, you could see as he was talking with Lillian Garcia on the telecast, you could see that Austin had confidence. He was confident he could ride Bushwhacker, and to see him go against Bushwhacker again, that was the highlight of the night for me.
Yeah, that's right, Mike. Well, you know, I got to tell you, Mississippi Hippie was really giving JB a hard time in that shoot there and was leaning on his leg, man. You could tell he was in obvious pain. He ended up getting brought down in 3.8 seconds. And then, of course, Austin Meyer was on Southpaw. And, you know, that was a close one, man. We weren't sure, you know, how it was going to transpire. Everybody was looking at the clocks, you know. Austin ended up bucking off at 3.46, which allowed him that opportunity to advance. Unfortunately for JB, may be, that was going to be the end of his night, but give Austin that opportunity to go up against Bushwacker. Now, over on the Asteroid side, you know, one of the things that really stuck out and impressed me the most was, you know, Mike Lee was the only Cowboy that made it to the Final Four that started off in that first round. All the other guys, the other three guys, they had a first-round bye. So they did not have to get on as many Bulls. And Mike Leake ended up covering two Bulls. He got a score of 87.5 and then moved on and got an 88 and three quarters, which allowed him that opportunity, you know, on New Holland's Power Star. And then, of course, LJ, you know, who had already made a 90-point ride. This guy was looking hot. And he ended up matching up on Lightmaker's Rango. And, Mike Lee just brought down real short, 2.97 seconds. LJ had an opportunity there and was able to capitalize, but he got bucked off 3.28. So the matchup, you know, turned out being, you know, and those two guys right there, you just know, you know, the potential is there, man. You know, you got Austin Meyer on Bushwacker. You got LJ Jenkins on Asteroid. And you know, those guys were actually related to each other. Those guys actually had an opportunity. I mean, those guys were, by marriage, they were related. And both of them were Oklahoma Cowboys. So the stage was set. There's no doubt. And then, you know, you guys talk about Austin Meyer. This is a guy that was actually cut from the tour earlier this year. So he's riding really well in touring pros. But, you know, I mean, he wasn't there week in and week out. And he didn't have an opportunity to get on the Asteroids or the Bushwhackers and the Short Goes of the, you know, of the championship rounds of these Bill Ford Tough Series these last few events like LJ has.
Yeah, you know, with Austin being out there on the touring pro circuit and riding and trying to build his way back to the Bill Ford Tough, he knew coming into this event that he had to ride some bulls to make some points and to get himself back on tour. And I really think that he's seen the opportunity in this, not only at a chance at $100,000, $50,000 a win, and then the $50,000 muster money bull, but he's seeing a chance here to ride bulls, gather points, and get back on the Bill Ford Tough Tour where he wants to be, where he needs to be if he wants a shot at winning a world title this year.
And that's really right. Mike, another guy that we've been talking about, you know, even last season, this guy really made a big run to win the world title, and we thought he had an opportunity to do that, and that was LJ Jenkins. This guy was focused, you know, and determined. He wanted to make it up there and have a great finish. He did last year, started off really well, but then kind of struggled there here recently. We're going to see this guy really make a strong run. LJ Jenkins ended up going up against Asteroid, and we had an opportunity to sit down with him and talk with him. So what do you say we go ahead and air that interview real quick?
Sounds great, man.
All right, guys, we're here with the guy that's runner-up. Now, this guy still had a lot of work cut out here towards the end, LJ Jenkins. LJ started off really good. You know, we had a 90-point. What was it like going up against Asteroid there towards the end?
I've been kind of looking forward to that matchup ever since he threw me out with the finals, you know, but I wish I could have had him when I was fresh and I'd have just got on three-headed bulls, but, you know, he's a great bull and I just wasn't.
How did you feel when you got things started, you know, and were able to land some great rides there in those first couple rounds?
Yeah, I knew if I got past After Party and got him rode that, you know, it was kind of looking in my favor with the matchups of the bulls. Just luckily, I made it all the way to the end.
Well, what's your idea now going up against? You're actually related to Austin, is that correct? Like cousins or something like that?
Well, I mean, we used to be about family, but we still say we're related, and I guess one's family, always family.
That's right, and not only that, but you guys are both Oklahomans. You know, the great state of Oklahoma. We actually just moved out there, but we've got a lot of fans. And the radio shows weekly. What's it like for you to come out to an event like this where you know you've got to get on a lot of bulls? What do you do to prepare for that?
Try to conserve as much energy as possible. You know, me and Austin, we regardless who wins, it's kind of going back to, you know, the hometown. So, you know, we come out and won first and second, so everybody should be proud of us at home.
try. You're running real strong this year. I know you have a lot of goals, or, you know, during the break. What are your plans for the break?
I'm going to keep riding as much as possible this year. I got third off right at the end last year to win my first world title, and I want to get back and, you know, oh, you're a top five guy, but now that I know I was so close to winning a world title, I want to win a world title.
Well, there you go. You guys have it here. This guy is looking for a world championship, and we may see it there at the end. LJ, thank you guys very much. We look forward to seeing you there at the end.
Well, Mike, I got to tell you, man, I got a lot of respect for LJ. This guy's really on fire right now, especially coming out of this one, you know. Ended up bucking off Asteroid at 2.17. You know, it was a short night, but, you know, like you said, this was a bullet he really wished he'd had while he was fresh, you know. And we saw him earlier in the night score a 90-point ride. This guy's focused, man. He knows what he wants, and you can almost bet, man. I look forward to seeing him in Albuquerque here in a couple weeks. That's where LJ's originally from. He's won that event down there, and I cannot wait to see him in Albuquerque there at the pit. But, man, I'm telling you, what an exciting, exciting time, and what an exciting matchup to see him take on Asteroid there. Towards the end there, making it there at the final two of the Iron Cowboy.
Yeah, him on Asteroid, if he goes against this bull fresh, I'm gonna give LJ all the credit. I think he'll ride the bull next time he gets on him, and he's fresh. He hasn't been on three bulls in a row, and as tough as bull were that were there. But as of that ride and that last night, it looked good. I mean, he really put out the effort. You know, too bad it brought him down a little early. He was tired. He was beat. He's been on a bunch of bulls. But, you know, in this bracket form, you know, that's what we want to see. We want to see Cowboys put out all the effort that they possibly can and just to get past into the next round. And that's what bull riding, head-to-head bull riding is all about. And it really, this particular event really brings a lot of excitement to that head-to-head bull riding platform. And LJ, I can tell you this, he's ready. He's ready for the rest of the season.
Yeah, well, you know he is, man, and I look forward to watching him here throughout the remainder. But, you know, the man of the hour, of course, that would be, you know, the matchup of the night would be Austin Meyer going up against Bushwhacker. You know, the tone was set. The final two were there, and now we had an opportunity to see these two guys go at it with each other and see Austin Meyer, who's a guy, like you said just a few minutes ago, this guy, you know, struggled at the beginning of the season. You know, this guy's been struggling, but he was able to, you know, step up because of his standings last year, was able to come down here to Arlington, Texas, was able to get on as many bulls as he can. He took advantage of that. Man, I'm telling you, that's what it's all about, taking advantage of the opportunities that you have set down in front of you. And Austin Meyer made the best of it, man. Now, this guy covered two bulls earlier in the round. We saw him go up. He did have a first-round bye. So going up against Bushwhacker, he was, you know, I wouldn't say he was fresh, you know, because, I mean, he'd already gotten on three bulls. But this guy here, man, he was ready. Unfortunately, it was another short night. You know, Bushwhacker came out, scored 47.5 points, and you can't say enough about that. But ended up bringing Austin Meyer, was able to hang on by his fingertips at 2.67. Now, when I watched that matchup, man, it looked like Bushwhacker was not going to have his normal trip, was not going to have a night out like he normally does. He was out there and didn't buck quite as hard right off the bat. So I'm kind of biting my fingernails, and I'm going, man, this is an opportunity. Austin could possibly win this thing and cover this bull at the same time. But unfortunately, man, when that bull snapped too, and he, it was like, you know, he came into it, and when he bucked, man, I'm telling you, look out. Austin just didn't have any place to go. It was brought down to 2.67, but it was just enough to edge LJ. And what a, man, what an exciting way to finish off the Iron Cowboy, and that was to see Austin Meyer go at it on Bushwhacker and end up winning the round.
Well, you know, I thought Austin would cover the bull, but I'm truly excited about Austin winning the event. as I was watching the telecast, one thing that that I agreed with Ty Murray on, every time I see or you don't have to see it, you hear it in Austin Meyer. They mic him up. You can hear the grunts. You can hear the try. And it's just amazing to see what he can do and how he puts out the effort of staying on these bulls. He doesn't always look the best. He doesn't always have everything perfect. But it doesn't really matter as long as you make that 8-second whistle. And he did that twice earlier in the night. And we know this platform is a little different than everything else we see in bull riding. But he did it earlier in the night, standing on the 8-second, and he lasted longer than LJ there on the last round going against Bushwhacker. And if you remember last year, Scott, Bushwhacker came back from an injury last year at the Iron Cowboy, and he didn't look just great when he came back last year. And JB almost rode him. But this year he scored an 8:48 in an event. And then this weekend at the Iron Cowboy, he scored a 47.5. So Bushwhacker, I think he's made a statement. He's saying he wants to be Bull of the Year. And that right there really proved, he really impressed me this weekend the way he bucked it with Austin Meyer on his back.
Oh, absolutely, man. This guy, that bull scored 47 2 weeks ago, came back, scored a 48 last week, and now 47.5. I mean, that bull is on fire. We got some great pictures of him, too. We were able to get up close and personal with one of the best in the business. But, you know, you talk about being mic'd up and how often, you know, you can hear the grit and determination. We actually had an opportunity to talk with your Iron Cowboy winner for the 2013 season. So let's take a listen to Austin Meyer. We were able to sit back and speak with him.
I know they don't call it Iron Cowboy. How did it feel to get him any bulls to?
I'm a guy that works out, and I've worked out a lot this year, and been getting on a bunch of bulls, and it paid off. You know, there's been years that I've been really gassed here, and this year, you know, I was able to keep my energy up, and about this event the last 3 years, it's been good to me. Second the last 2 years, first this year. You know, it's as much as my body don't like this event, my pocket sure does.
Well, you took a guy down, you know, at the end. How did you feel?
Once you make it to that Bushwhacker ass round, it's a really big group because, you know, you got a good chunk of money in your pocket. At that count, you still want to win, and it was just a matter of chance that LJ bucked off a split second before I did. You know, those are both wrangles, and by no means did either of us hit them to get the check.
You beat this many bulls over a 3-day weekend. Now it's only 9. What's the difference?
I tell you what, it takes a lot more stamina, and you got to be able to keep your composure. You know, you try your hard on every bull you get on. But you know, manage how you're breathing and how you're acting in between the bulls.
Very good.
Austin, hey, let me ask you here on, getting cut from the tour, coming into this event, what was your feeling? I mean, how did you make some good rides to get yourself back in contention for world champion?
You know, I guess I was really happy to get to have this event for the fact that I've really been riding good on the tour and pros, and every tour and pro I've went to, I've played. I really like the bull that I got to start with, and anytime that happens, it's exciting. It starts you off on a good note. My main goal here was to get bulls right.
Well, you start really well covering bulls. You know, as you start getting later on in the rounds, I know it gets really difficult. How did you feel getting on Bushwhacker?
You know, I feel good. I mean, obviously, I didn't probably have the stamina that I did at the first bull. You know, I put everything I had into him, and, you know, that bull's just a phenomenal bull, but as you can see, for 2 years in a row, he's got a knack getting guys on the ground real quick.
Yeah, he sure does. Now, what are your plans? I know, you know, you're this
problem. My wife at home, and you know, what are you guys going to do? You guys going to take a few minutes and just enjoy the moment here tomorrow, and then start getting ready to get back on tour?
Yeah, I think we're going to drive home tonight, and then all right, sleep most tomorrow, and get up, start feeding cows tonight. Wait and see whether I'm going to Saginaw, Michigan, or Tacoma, Washington next week. Keep your fingers crossed.
That's right. Well, congratulations, Austin, and good luck down the road.
Thank you.
Well, Mike, you know, I got to tell you, man, it was really exciting to be able to sit back and see a guy like Austin Martin. Now, we've had him actually on our Making Eight Rodeo Network shows. You know, this guy, you know, has been in contention. You know, he struggled a bit, like I said, here at the beginning of this season, but I think that this could be the turnaround point. You know, we saw that, we've seen that a lot. You know, we've seen that with the previous winners. Of course, Valeron de Oliveira winning it 2 years ago, and then 3 years ago, they're at the inaugural Iron Cowboy, and then Colby Yates winning it, JB coming back last year and winning it. You know, I think we could see Austin Meyer there back on top and in contention riding like we know he does.
Oh, definitely. You know, one thing in the interview that I loved hearing him say is he's a type of guy, he don't get too high and he don't get too low. He stays pretty even keel. He's going to drive home last night. He's going to feed cows today. He's going to go on like it was just another day. You know, that's what's special about this guy is he keeps that even keel. He's got his eyes on the prize, and he knows where he wants to be. He wants to be back on that Built For Tough Tour. That's why he puts out all the effort that he did this weekend, and he was very blessed in being the Iron Cowboy this year, getting $50,000 for winning the event. But one thing we haven't talked about is that Money Bull. That Money Bull round really impressed me, Scott. That bull right there looked really, really rank.
Yeah, he sure did. Shepherd Hills tested, man. That's a bull that these guys right now are just, you know, that's another one that's going to really give Bushwhacker a run for his money, as well as Asteroid there at the end that we'll see at the PBR World Finals. And, you know, Mike, they had a great display as we talked about those bulls. The two of them in particular, Asteroid and Bushwhacker, here being, you know, some of the rankest bulls that are going right now. You know, of course, we heard from Luke Snyder during the telecast, you know, that this is, you know, truly the rankest bull he's ever seen or been on. But, you know, one of the things that was mentioned in there, and it was really cool, is to see, you know, you cannot talk about the best bulls in this business without mentioning one that has really got this the recognition, and that being the Bull Bodacious by Sammy Andrews and the Andrews Rodeo Company.
Well, one thing, Scott, is you got bulls in the bucking bull industry like Bodacious and Scat Cat and bulls that really drew attention to the sport. And Bushwhacker and Asteroid are bulls just like that. They draw attention here to our sport. And big-time bulls mean big-time attention. And that's how special these bulls are. There are not very many in the world like it. That you can go to these rodeo companies, and all these bull riders, these contractors, they all have really good bulls. They all have really great bulls, but none of them have that special, that once-in-a-lifetime bull that Sammy Andrews had and Bodacious, Circle T has in Asteroid, and that Julio Moreno has in Bushwhacker. So to have them type of bulls is really great for that contractor. And, you know, those three bulls you could put in a class above any other bull out there. And until I see another bull come out there and take that away from them, those are the three that you want to be like. Those are the three bulls that you want to find a bull that's to that level.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. Well, you know, only eight guys were able to stay on top of Bodacious and make an eight-second ride. You know, I don't know if we're going to see 8 seconds that many times on the back of Asteroid or Bushwhacker. You know, of course, we know that JB was able to do it on Asteroid, but, man, I'm telling you, I just don't see it happening. Now, one thing, Mike, is as we get ready to wind down the show, man, that I hate to talk about, and that's injuries. Now, unfortunately, we saw some pretty bad wrecks. Ignaldo Cardoza ended up having a pretty good-sized wreck there in that first round. But another one, you know, now, this was really interesting, man. Nathan Schopper ended up, because of medical reasons, not able to compete yesterday. They gave Harv Stewart a call. Now, Harv Stewart's a native Texan, and they said, hey, man, can you get down here? He got the call yesterday afternoon, drove to get down there for the Iron Cowboy. But unfortunately, man, he took a shot, ended up spending the night in the hospital, and we definitely want to send our best there to Harv Stewart as he recovers. Man, what a wreck that he had.
Definitely, Harv Stewart. Want to spend our thoughts and prayers with him to get well soon. But the Cardoza wreck, you know, I was sitting in my living room and watching the event, and I had to call my wife in there to ask her if I should give him a 10 for his dive. But there was no water there. That I tell you what, that guy right there was tough as nails to get up to walk away from that wreck right there, because to see him flip around and go face first into the dirt, that looked like it really was painful.
That's right. You know, it definitely was. I thought for a second there we were watching a gymnastics match. I mean, this guy's doing cartwheels over the front end of those bulls. Bad spot to be in, man. And I'm telling you, that face, boy, he took a shot right there. But, man, what an exciting, exciting event that this event turned out to be. But, man, you know, I really look forward to seeing what the rest of the season for the professional bull riders is going to, you know, how this thing is going to really shape up. You know, they're going to be heading to Tacoma, Washington next week, and then Fresno, California, and then, of course, one of my all-time favorites there, Albuquerque, New Mexico. This place is going to be rocking. So a lot of events coming at them, and we want to send, again, another special thanks to the PBR. You guys get over to PBRnow.com and check out their website, so you can find out how Harv Stewart's doing and find out how these standings are starting to change shape just a little bit here after this Iron Cowboy weekend. And definitely congratulations to Austin Mata, the 2013 Iron Cowboy, man. That's something that'll go down on the books, you know, that we're going to see here. He is one of the top dogs now as they round out and wind down the Iron Cowboy 4. He is definitely the man to beat right now, and certainly on fire, man. So congratulations to Austin.
Yeah, definitely congratulations to Austin, because he really deserved it. He toughed and gritted his way all the way through that bracket to win the Iron Cowboy, and he's going to carry that title for the rest of the year, and he's going to keep his eyes on the prize, trying to get forward to winning a world championship. But one thing, I hope I'm not skipping forward a little too much here, Scott, but you're not leaving Texas just yet, are you?
No, sir. You know, and I was just getting ready to lead into that, Mike. We actually, you know, of course, we're new Oklahoma residents, and we were able to bring down the family. I brought down the wife and the kids, and they were able to sit up in the stands and get their perspective, which, by the way, as fans sitting up in the stands, my kids and my wife were amazed themselves. So don't take it just from my word of being down there in the media areas and getting these interviews and talking with these guys. This was not something that came from just me. The impression from these fans being down there at Cowboy Stadium watching the, you know, an actual bull riding event take place in that facility was just amazing for them. But, you know, they headed north this morning to Oklahoma, head back home. As I got to the Making 8 Rodeo Network RV that you guys see displayed now on our Facebook pages, but we ended up heading south on 45, and we still got a little bit of a drive left, which means I've got to get in the front of this truck, start getting these wheels turning if we're going to make it down there. But, you know, Rodeo Houston is underway down here in Houston, Texas, and we are going to be down there, my friend, getting ready to bring a lot of interviews, a lot of rodeo wrap-up shows. They're going to start Tuesday night. So, you know, we don't even have to wait a week before we air our next show that the fans are going to get an opportunity to see and find out what's going on there in Rodeo Houston as we're getting in there now. They're in their third series already, so we're a little bit behind, man, and I feel like I'm really behind after this weekend. I got to play some major catch-up here as we get caught up and then get down there to the Houston Rodeo and start bringing some interviews to our fans and our listeners that are tuned in right now at MakingAtRodeo.com.
You know, there's not very many great rodeos out there, and Rodeo Houston is one of the greatest indoor rodeo out there in the country. So I'm excited about what we're going to bring to the fans, what we're going to let the fans check out in the up close and personal interviews with some of these guys. And Scott, I just want to say on behalf of the Making Eight Maniacs, I'm a fan first. And, you know, I work with you here on this radio show, but I'm still a fan first as well as you are. But you did a great job this weekend out there at the Iron Cowboy. I've seen some photos. It was amazing photos. I love seeing the Making Eight Studios, the RV sitting right there in front of the big stadium there at Arlington. But you did a great job there, and I know we're going to have a lot of great stuff coming out of Houston this week.
That's right, Mike, it is, man. It's coming out this week, and I certainly appreciate it, brother. You know, if it wasn't for guys like you and friends like you and partners, we also got to send a big thank you to Jacqueline Wright, who's probably tuned in right now, but she was actually the one taking our photos down here this weekend, and man, we really appreciate that. She did a fantastic job of getting those together for us so we can get them online. But, man, you know, it's all about being a fan first, and that's what makes it this show so fun. To sit back with so many of the fans and talk about the exciting things that are going on in the rodeo industry, man. Not just the professional bull riders, not just the Professional Rodeo Cowboy Association, but rodeos in general, man. Even the small hometown rodeos. We love covering it. We love talking about it. We love being a fan of this sport. You know, it isn't just a job. It is a way of life for us, man. And we are just so blessed to be where we're at right now. So, you know, I wouldn't be here doing it if it wasn't for the fans that have stuck behind us, and it weren't the guys like Frank. You know, I know he's been tuned into our show here tonight, as well as you and Jacqueline and so many others out there. You know, the ones that have helped us out previously at so many other events, as well as the ones that are helping us right now today. Thank you guys from the bottom of my heart, really. Means a lot, and we look forward to the next one, man. This is not over. You know, we wrapped up the Iron Cowboy here, but we're just getting started on our three-week road trip. We're going to be gone. We're going to be down there at Rodeo Houston bringing you the action for the next 2 weeks. So make sure to stay tuned to MakingItRodeo.com. The radio shows will be posting up there after every round, so we're going to be doing them. I can't guarantee the times for the live broadcast, but I can guarantee that they will be broadcasted. You'll be able to go back and do the wrap-up shows. We've got the date set, and you can find out when those wrap-up shows are going to be taking place as we get more interviews and we talk more rodeo and more exciting action around the sport.
No doubt. You know, it's always fun to bring this stuff, this news and those to the fans. And I'm excited about the wrap-up shows coming there from Houston because, you know, here is another place that's a big, huge stadium with a big, huge payout for every different event that's there at Rodeo Houston. They get that $50,000 shootout. So, you know, it's going to be really cool seeing that lay out there and play out and who's going to get the chance at the $50,000 there. And so it's going to be exciting seeing what we can bring to the fans to bring that wow factor.
Absolutely, Mike. Well, I'll tell you what, my friend, we're not going to be able to get any of it unless we get these wheels turning and finish out this road trip southbound. So, my friend, we're going to wrap up our show here today. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time out here. And, man, really enjoy each and every show we get to do together. It's always a great opportunity, and look forward to the interviews that you're able to get down the road here this summer, as well as us being able to sit back and cover these events all season long for our fans that are dedicated right here on MakingItRodeo.com. So thanks once again, buddy. We're going to see you definitely next week, but after these events as well.
Well, I look forward to you getting the wheels turning and get down to Houston, man. See you, all the Making Eight Maniacs, next week.
All right, guys. Fans, that is going to be the wrap-up for the show. Make sure to stay tuned. I want to thank the PBR once again for inviting us down and allowing us the opportunity to bring the wrap-up show here to all of you fans that are tuned in on MakingItRodeo.com. Thanks once again, and we will see you guys Tuesday night for the Rodeo Houston live wrap-up show. You guys stay tuned to MakingItRodeo.com.
Thanks for tuning in with Making Eight. Happy trails, be blessed, and get a grip.
Welcome and listening to a radio. way the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on. If you want to feel those good vibrations coming from the joy that His love can bring, turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.